And when you're ready, I invite you to gently open your eyes. Good morning.
Good morning.
So great to step into this field of love and vibrancy and aliveness here. Thank you, Shanna, for inviting me. And this is my second spring in the Midwest, and I am amazed because every time lately I go outside or I look out the window, there is green everywhere. And not just a little bit green, but juicy green. Juicy green. It's like an energy smoothie for my soul. And we're in this season of where life is surging all around us, in the grass and the trees and the flowers and the plants, and it is undeniable, commanding our attention. And as children of the earth and beloveds of God, we too may feel that inner greening of what is growing within us and rising from the ground of our being to be birthed. So spring is this time of renewal. And we've just traveled through the Easter week, reclaiming our true selves and celebrating that risen Christ within. And perhaps with a renewed appreciation of the presence and power of God at work in our lives. Last week, I understand you had the white stone ceremony, a very sacred ceremony of deep listening for what God is growing within you and preparing to birth through you. I was fortunate enough to do that ceremony also. In 12th century, mystic Hildegard de Bingen said, "We must each learn to hang out in the green growing edges of our becoming." And so this week after Easter, that is where we're at, hanging out on the green growing edges of our becoming, the green growing edge of a new beginning with spring. And it takes a lot of faith and courage and trust to step into a new beginning, to step into a new phase of being. And this can be a time when we release things that no longer serve us, do a kind of a spring cleaning inside and out with material things and also with releasing old thoughts and old habits of thinking that keep us stuck, releasing those patterns of worry or fear or judgment, or comparison even. A quote I like is, "Comparison is the death of joy." So this can be a time of discarding what we've outgrown. And of course, this means change. And often we get a glimpse of that change, and that glimpse can leave us feeling somewhat itchy, because we know we're leaving the old, but we're not quite in the new yet. So we're kind of in this middle place. And it reminds me of the process of a snake shedding its skin. And the snake outgrows its old skin, just as we outgrow old beliefs. And the snake's skin gets tight and itchy, and we too may feel that restlessness. And the snake rubs up against the rough places to just let go of that skin. And we too may go to a rough place again or try something one more time to know that we're really finished with it. And when the snake's skin is shed, its skin is tender and sensitive. And we too may be tender and sensitive in this time, and it's a time for self-care. And in its new skin, the snake is shiny and beautiful, And in our new green growing edges, we are also beautiful and glowing with that light, that newness that we are expressing as well. And the whole process repeats itself. And this process of birth and rebirth can be pretty demanding. Sometimes we need to go through the narrow places to be born into the light. And I invite you to think of where you were this time last year. Has anyone been through some narrow places this year? I know I have, yeah. And now, thinking about your life now, are you feeling more expansive than last year? And in our spiritual practice, we learn to live with the mystery. We learn to live with the questions of the in-between time and the becoming times. Each day we live with this mystery of becoming, and with this season of growth, and with the White Stone Ceremony last week, all of us have received this invitation to shed the old and begin anew. And it does take a lot of faith to spring forth into a new beginning. So today I want to talk about a Bible character who had a lot of faith in his new beginning. And you may know him as Abraham, but his name was originally Abram from the book of Genesis. And Abram was the man of the year of his time. He had power, prestige, wealth, influence, his harem. He probably would have been on The Bachelor as well, you know. But there was one thing that he was missing. The one thing that he was missing, he did not have a connection with God until the day when the Lord Jehovah spoke to him. And the word Lord infers an outer power, but we know that the original word was Jehovah, which refers to the I Am presence within us. So this guidance, this I Am presence within, spoke to him and told him to leave his friends, his family, his connections, to leave it all and go. Go to a new land. And he was promised three things with this. He was promised a great blessing, a great name, and a great nation. And in unity, as Shan has probably told you, we interpret the Bible metaphysically, and we view the Bible as a story of our spiritual evolution. So when someone takes a journey in the Bible, it signifies a transformation of consciousness. So Abram's walk is our walk. So Abram had it all in the material world and was asked by God to leave it all and follow a higher path and trust. He was asked to leave the land of his old consciousness, his old way of thinking and being, and go to a new place. And he didn't know who he would be when he got there, but he trusted that guidance. And sometimes don't we give up the good for the greater? We say yes, we trust, and we don't know who we'll be when we get there, or what our lives will be like. So this new beginning is a journey of faith. And to know, too, that when we step out in faith, that we are always loved and supported by God and by this beautiful community here to love and support each other as we go through the journey. So Abram listened and followed this higher guidance. And his journey did have some challenges. His faith was tested, but he continued to trust. And this next part is always a part that made me laugh in the Bible. For when he was 99, the Lord Jehovah spoke to him again and said he would be blessed with a son. Well, his wife, Sarai, who is 89,
left.
She thought, no way. But sure enough, as we read, when Abram was 100 and Sarai was 90, their son Isaac was born. And Isaac's name means joy. So symbolizing when we step out in faith and trust, there is great joy in this journey of transformation. Well, if you know the story of Abram and Sarai, you know things got a little complicated because earlier Sarai thought she could never have a kid, so she urged Abram to have a son with the handmaiden, Hagar. So he did, and they had Ishmael. But once Isaac came along, Sarai ordered her husband to have them leave. And mother and son, Hagar and Ishmael, were cast into the desert to die. But they did not die. And Ishmael became the father of the Muslim nation. So throughout Abram and Sarai's experience, we see them struggle with lying, you know, forgetting to consult God, questioning God, acting out of fear. So on their hero's journey, things come up on our journey too. And isn't this our experience sometime when we just go out in faith and then somebody presses our button or a fear comes up? And maybe we too act in a way that is not very becoming of our divinity as children of God. But we learn, we heal, we grow, and we release that which no longer serves us as we say yes to this new beginning. And this is a process, and I believe it's not about being perfect, but it's about waking up quicker, waking up sooner, and falling asleep less. So those who undergo a transformation in the Bible receive a new name, and name means nature. And Abram becomes Abraham, which means father of the multitudes. Sarai, whose name means contentious, contrary, and manipulative, her name becomes Sarah, which means noble woman. And when they left for the land of milk and honey, this new place, they took Lot and Lot's wife with them. But we all know what happened to Lot's wife, right? She looked back. She was fixated in the past, stuck. And spirit couldn't get through, and she couldn't move forward. And hasn't that happened to us sometimes when we get stuck in looking in the past, in the woulda, shoulda, coulda, and we can't move forward when we're looking back? But Abraham looked forward, and he was open to the movement of God in his life. And that reminds me of the beautiful meditation about moving God, the activity of God in our lives. I am open to the movement of God in my life. Let's say that together. I am open to the movement of God in my life. Let's do that again. I am open to the movement of God in my life. And whoever called is included in that. God calling. I told you this was a special place. So as with our beginning, and Abraham's journey shows us that we, too, are promised three things. On this journey of transformation, we are promised that we will be guided step by step, every day and in every way. And of course, for those of us who like to plan months in advance, this, and for me too, this drives me nuts because I want to know. I want to know 2 years, 2 months. But this is a time of trusting that whatever I need to know will be revealed when I need to know it. When I need to know it. So in this nowness, hello God, we can ask ourselves, what is mine to do today? Who can I forgive today? Who can I bless today? And what one small sweet thing can I do today? We can ask and then listen for guidance. So you will be guided. The second promise is you will be changed. You will get a new name, a new nature, and interact with life in ways that you never have before. So is this exciting? You will be guided. You will be changed. And the third promise is you will be blessed. You will be blessed so that you will be a blessing to others. And as Abraham was father of the multitudes, you and I will be fathers and mothers of the multitudes of blessings for all that are in our path. And so we can ask ourselves on this journey, what is God calling me to do? And what is God calling me to be? And what will I need to let go of in order to do what I need to do and to be who I'm called to be? For we are not waiting for our dreams to come true, but our dreams are waiting for us to come true, to come home to our true, authentic selves. And when Jesus called his disciples, they left their jobs, their families, their friends, their ways of living, kind of like coming to ministerial school. But you do not need to give up all your possessions to follow the light of the Christ. For one can give up material items but still be in the old consciousness. It's about stepping forward into a new way, a new possibility of life. So right where we are right now is holy ground, for we are standing on that green, growing edge of becoming. When Jesus said, "Follow me," he was talking about and calling us to that higher level of awareness to follow that light, that truth, that love. To follow that truth that we are made in the image and likeness of God, and that we are God's beloveds, heirs to the kingdom of heaven. And that kingdom of heaven is within. It's a here and now experience, but we have to claim it. And this may require rising above some things, some mass consciousness, broadcast of fear, lack, and separation. The Apostle Paul said, "Do not let the world squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your mind from within." And so we are invited to break free from the mold, any mold we placed upon ourselves, or we felt that society has placed upon us. We are invited to break free. And we are invited to say yes to being fashioned from the inside out by God. Is anybody up for that? All right. I love this quote, and I'm not sure who said it, but it's good to remember that running laps has never led to flying. Running laps has never led to flying. So as we go forth this week into this rich growing season, We take the poet Mary Oliver's words with us from the poem Among the Trees. Around me, the trees stir in their leaves and call out, "Stay a while." The light flows from their branches. And they call again. "It's simple," they say. "And you too have come into the world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine." And so it is. Amen.
Thank you, Rob.